Hello, I'm Timothy Dunn, and welcome to CB Wrap. This is a show where I sit down and have discussions with the actors and directors who are performing at CB Rep, members of the artistic staff, and from the CB Rep Conservatory. I hope you'll enjoy this discussion with Craig Wells. Our guest today is Craig Wells, who is the director of the first show of the 23-24 season, The Fantastics, A Love Story Reimagined. Could you give us a little quick summary first of Craig Wells?
Well, I've had a very eclectic sort of fun life of doing many different things. I was fortunate after graduating from college to go to New York City and to start pursuing a career in performing, and that seemed to go pretty well. I had some great opportunities. I traveled around the world. I performed on Broadway and off-Broadway and national tours and regional theaters. A lot of great experiences came my way, which was really wonderful. It's challenging trying to create a career, right? We want to start off maybe, you know, in a small role and then work our way up to leads. And sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. And I have a lot of friends who've been very successful in ensemble roles for years and years and years, always on Broadway. Eventually, I went back to the New York City area after a brief stint in El Paso, Texas, and started getting back into performing. I thought it was something I was ready to kind of revisit. I had done Les Mis on Broadway, and I'd come back for the closing of Les Mis, and I really missed those people. I missed those actors. And I tried to pursue it again, but the business had changed. I had changed. I was older. I was in a relationship. Did I want to go do Phantom of the Opera in Las Vegas for 6 months? Maybe not. We moved to Vermont, and I lived in Vermont for about 13 years, where eventually I was teaching acting, improvisation, musical theater. That really started my directing career, and I directed a variety of shows while we were in Vermont. And then we moved here in 2020.
And the rest is continuing to be.
And it continues to unfold, you know?
Yes.
It's always interesting to see where your life is sort of going to go. I had some ideas of where it might go. It didn't really go in those directions. I had directed a play at the University of Vermont called Hand to God, which was done at CV Rep, or was going to be performed at CV Rep, and I reached out to Adam to ask him who his director was and if we could have a chat. And that started the ball rolling, so to speak, and I was very fortunate that he trusted that I could direct the show and make that production an important production for last season.
And it was.
Yeah, it was great. I had a great
cast.
Loved it. Yeah.
So are there a couple of things, just before we get into something else, a couple of real highlights that wonderful experiences of your career thus far, because there will be more. Something like, wow, that was great. That was luck.
I think certainly doing my first Broadway show, which was the musical Chess, was a great experience for me. I had auditioned for it. I wasn't originally cast in the production, probably because I was so nervous auditioning in front of Trevor Nunn, who was the director of the time, having directed Cats and Les Mis and Starlight Express and all of these shows. But I had a good friend playing one of the leads in Chess, and at one point she said to me, you know, we still don't have a swing for the show. And a swing is someone who covers all the men in the ensemble or all the women in the ensemble. So I reached out to the casting director who I knew, and I said, hey, I hear you don't have a swing yet. And they're like, oh, well, would you be interested in doing that? And at the time, I wasn't really sure, but it seemed like, well, why not? It would be a Broadway show. And mm-hmm. So I went in and auditioned again for Trevor. They were in rehearsal. I think they'd rehearsed already about a week. And they called me, I think, the next day and said, we want to offer you that position. So that was great. I was covering 11 men in the ensemble, and I got to sort of complete the rehearsal process in the rehearsal room and then move with the show to Broadway. This was a show that had already been performed in London under the direction of Michael Bennett, but at the time Michael Bennett was dying from AIDS, and so Trevor Nunn had come in and sort of assisted in finishing that show up for its London premiere, where it was a really big hit. So that was a big highlight. I would also say doing Les Miserables, which I got to do about a year or so later, was also a huge highlight. I feel very fortunate I got to the rehearsal process for that show, which was a four-week rehearsal where literally the first week we sang not one note from the show. All we did was theater games and exploring character. It really united the cast and sort of bonded us in a way that had never been a part of my experience before. And then just being in that show, which, you know, this was 1988 and 89. Well, at that time, it was kind of the Hamilton of its day. And traveling from city to city, watching the impact of that show, watching the emotional journey that that musical takes people on, was a really powerful experience for me. I feel very, very fortunate to have been a part of that.
So in talking about when you're just mentioning Trevor Nunn and a new feel for chess, you're doing the same sort of thing with the Fantastics. A little different.
Yes, but yes, it's true. It's true. We're sort of putting a new look on the show, which is indeed what Trevor did. Trevor brought in a playwright to write a script for chess. It didn't really have a script prior. And with the Fantastics, we of course, are fortunate enough that the gentleman who wrote it originally, Tom Jones, was involved several years ago with this idea of changing the musical to be about two boys falling in love as opposed to a boy and a girl falling in love. He was very much involved. Even, I believe, at that time, he was maybe 91. Or 92, he was very actively involved in those rewrites because it impacted not just the story element, but the lyrics and other aspects of the show. And then in that process, they decided to give the two boys two mothers instead of two fathers. And so that changed a lot of things as well. And what we're doing is now sort of bringing it out here to the West Coast and putting our spin on it. Not that we're changing things dramatically, but trying to find our way into this story of these two young men and their journey of love found and love lost and love recovered. So it's pretty exciting to be working on it in this capacity. And I've performed in the Fantastics twice before in two different productions. So I have that connection to the piece. I played El Gallo in both of those productions. So it's fun to kind of look at this again and under a new eye, if that makes sense. And then I was also very fortunate to work with Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt, the composer, on one of their other musicals called Colette Collage in New York City. So having spent time with Tom and Harvey and knowing the kind of creative minds they have and how they approach theater and their joy in creating theater out of a space that just has a couple black boxes and a ladder, let's say, and letting the audience's imagination take the journey to believe that that ladder could become a balcony or whatever it might want to serve the piece is something that I'm hoping we can achieve here as well.
And I think important part also for everyone to know, too, that this just isn't a wild reconstruction but this is actually done by Tom Jones.
Yes. I mean, he really believed that this made sense. I think at first he was a little like resistant because he knew how much work it was going to take to really do it properly. The show itself has not become a completely new show. It just has a gender switch and some lyrics and a few lines have been added to sort of talk about that mm-hmm. switch, but overall it's still the Fantastics. So if you saw the Fantastics in New York City during its 42 or 3-year run, you're still seeing the Fantastics. It's just that instead of Louisa and Matt, we now have Louis and Matt, and their journey is pretty identical to what the original characters go through. Mm-hmm.
In this, do you find, because they are the two boys, that there is a just a difference in dynamics that you're finding to approach? Because when you address a boy and a girl, there's maybe a femininity or sweetness to the girl that isn't necessarily going to be there with the two boys.
Well, obviously, vocal lines have to be adjusted because we don't have a high soprano. Now our Lewis will have more of a high tenor voice, and that will sound different just to our ears. But musically, the songs still stand for what they are, with lyrics that address subtle changes. You know, Luiso, in her song Much More, she wants to go to town in a golden gown. Well, Lewis still wants to go to town, but he wants to go to town in a golden crown. So literally that's how subtle some of the lyric changes can be. I think for our modern sensibilities, the fact that we're seeing two boys know that they have an attraction for each other, and though unbeknownst to them, their mothers support that, is slightly different than what we're used to if it was just Matt and Luisa. The El Gallo sort of wants to make sure, like, that the parents are okay that it's two boys having these feelings, and the mothers say, yeah, they love each other. What's wrong with that? So that's a bit of a switch. That doesn't have to be asked in the original version, but our sensibilities sort of require that to be asked in our world that we live in. So I think that's unique. On the flip side, the word gay is never used in the entire show in this version. None of the boys are questioning their feelings. I mean, Matt kind of questions his feelings, but not in a way that it's more like he just doesn't quite understand why he's so into this boy, but he can't deny it. But it's not, he doesn't seem threatened by it. Lewis does not question, oh, I'm gay, what does that mean? I've suffered all this time wondering how to deal with it. There's no, none of that is there. And some people may kind of think that should be there. I can't really speak for those people. I mean, my hope is that they're seeing a show about two people who love each other, and that all the layers and labeling that sometimes we do doesn't really need to be dealt with, because in this sort of fable that we're telling, in a world that's not really the present, but it is the present, we're just exploring how love impacts our lives and how we recognize the truth of our feelings, and that knowing that truth is really the most important thing we can hope for.
It's nice. It'd be very interesting to see what people, how they're even thinking.
Yeah. I mean, for some people, it may be really, you know, wonderful, and for some people it may be uncomfortable. I don't know. I want to make it as realistic as it can be. I want the dynamics between these two boys to have that nervousness of new love, of what's it like to embrace each other or whatever, which is very normal. Yeah. Exactly.
Everyone has that.
Right? I remember picking up the phone and making the phone call to ask a girl to go to the homecoming dance, and you're nervous and you don't know if they're going to say no, and you're hoping that you're friends enough that maybe they'll say okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you don't know, and that nervousness is mentioned and presented in the play, but the nervousness is about that, not oh no, yeah, people are going to now know I'm gay. And that's, I guess, sort of the difference.
I hope you're enjoying this CV Wrap. If you'd like to learn more about CV Wrap and the shows in the upcoming 23-24 season, please visit our website at www.cvrep.org. And if you'd like, be sure to wrap back to us on Facebook. And now back to our show. So, to wrap this up, we have what we now call the CV Wrap Rapid Fire section. So I'm going to give you just some questions or phrases, and however fast you can answer one word, couple of sentences.
One word. Okay.
Or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm game. I'm up for it.
Okay. So three actors or performers, singers, alive or past, you would like to have dinner with.
Judy Garland, Barbara Streisand, and, I want an actor in there, Len Carreyrou.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. Fun dinner. A song that nearly always brings a tear to your eye.
Well, I would say I was thinking about the blocking for They Were You, which is from the Fantastics.
I never knew they were.
And as I was thinking about it and envisioning what I hope to accomplish, I started crying. So.
So now we all know that television, Netflix, and all of those things, they don't really exist because there's only theater.
Right.
So of those, what is your favorite sort of guilty pleasure?
I love British murder mysteries. I'm watching one right now called Unforgotten. It's so good. And it's like you watch them and you're like, damn, they do it so much better than we do in the United States. The casting is better. The stories are more interesting. It's more believable. Unforgotten. It's on PBS. It's really worth it.
Favorite place on earth that you visited?
Cape Cod. Oh, well, I do like Sicily, too. I mean, I've been to Cape Cod. I have a very fond feeling for Truro, Massachusetts, which is near the end of Cape Cod. So it's always my, like, of all the places I think of, I always go back to Truro because it sort of fuels my soul.
Yeah. And bucket list place to go?
Greece.
Your first pet's name?
Jib.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think my parents named it. Somehow they came up with Jib. That was our first real pet that I sort of had a bond with, but he didn't last long. I mean, my mom was like, he's running away all the time. She couldn't handle it.
Okay, better happy ending.
Yeah, he had a happy ending living on a farm, which would have been much better for him.
That makes us all feel better here.
Yeah.
Favorite ice cream?
Well, I can eat ice cream, but when I did eat ice cream, coffee.
So what is your favorite dessert now?
Pie. Mm. I love a strawberry rhubarb pie. Mm.
You'll see. Maybe they'll be showing up by the dozens at the stage door.
Bring them on in.
Yes. Yeah. If you had to do it over, what production did you direct and think differently now? Which one would you like to do over because of, or do it just again because you think, I've got a new insight?
Wow. That's a really great question. I directed a production of Shakespeare in Love. There's a stage production of it. And at the University of Vermont, and it was a good experience. It's a big show. I would love to sort of get into it again and continue to see what we could do as far as the storytelling is concerned. It's not quite as good, honestly, as the movie, but there are some beautiful moments of creating theater magic in that that show. So I could see revisiting that again. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm not even a big Shakespeare aficionado, but I love the idea of it, and trying to bring that to life on stage. It was fun. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Craig Wells. We're looking forward to everything that you're doing with the Fantastics.
Thank you.
And thank you for being guest on CV Wrap.
My pleasure. Thank you.
CV Wrap is brought to you by the Coachella Valley Repertory, home of professional, high-quality, intimate theater. This podcast was produced by CV Rep with audio recording, editing, and production by Joshua Adams and is intended as a public service for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a legal interpretation nor statement of CV Rep and its programming. This podcast is the property of CV Rep, and no other use without the written permission of CV Rep may be made. We'll